Again, I'd like to say good morning to you. How excited I am, and I believe you are, to be in the house of the Lord. Because we've come, you know, in the Word of God, it says, where two or three are gathered together, I'll be there. We have come to meet Jesus Christ, the one that has risen again. As we sang the song, you know, is Jesus is coming soon. We don't know when that's going to be, but we know Jesus, again, is coming soon. If you have your Bibles, I like, if you don't mind, turn me to Luke chapter 24. We'll read verses 44 through 48 and a couple other verses as a means of introduction. And our title this morning is, Are You Toting or Carrying the Stretcher? Are you toting the stretcher? And I've changed that title many times, and the one thing I really wanted to mention to y'all is that I believe in prayer. My prayers have been answered through these studies, and I believe through your own studies, how God can just bless and allow you to understand the truths of the Word of God. I changed the title about numerous times. Time after time, you go through study, and you just be blessed. Oh, all right, this is what I believe God's laid on my heart. And then you change it time after time. That's how God was just blessing me. And Donald didn't know it, Brother Donald, as he was reading the devotion. And Brother Ronald, as he was teaching in Sunday school, the verses that were read were also verses from this sermon. I thought that, you know, maybe that's the message is God spoke to my heart that we might need to get to understand a little better, is that are we really toting the stretcher, as we'll get into later. But in Luke chapter 24, begin reading verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And then he goes on, we won't take the time to read it, but he talks about, you know, he ascends up into heaven. He promises the Holy Spirit. But in verse, what we're going to take is verse 47. It says, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in the name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Getting back to how excited I believe each one of us are as we come together to worship Jesus Christ. A lot of people, I guess you could make the illustration that, well, saying that Alabama football is coming up, that they are excited about it. Now, I got to think, well, you know, why would they be excited about that? You could go many points, but the point that kind of takes the illustration is the tradition, the history. Well, as we look at the church, and we can just be amazed, I believe, at how the Baptist ministry has made it from time to time. And it's not by our own works, but by what God has did, and by what God has promised, is that His Word is not going to go away like some books have been burned. Great books have been burned away, never to see again. But God's Word, the Bible, will not be burned away. It will continue with us forever. And that this is what we have to study and to preach, repentance and remissions of sins, as Jesus taught. Another verse we're going to look at as a small introduction is Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So as we believe with all our heart that the words of God is the most purest and the most truth that there is out there, that Jesus is coming again to receive His people. That's something that we can rejoice in as we come into the house of the Lord. Even more so is that Jesus said, when He said when He left, He said, and ascended up into heaven, He said, but you shall receive, in verse 8, the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. For those that are saved and are children of God, we have the Holy Ghost inside of you. As you go on and study further the Scriptures about that, He says, you shall be a discerner of me, and God shall give me the thoughts, and they shall be among you. The Holy Ghost is among the children of God that we have to lead us and to guide us. In the most bottom parts of our hearts is what we shall believe. I ask you the question, in the most bottom part of your heart, is Jesus your Savior? And even more so, when you have the Holy Spirit inside, are you listening? Are you beginning to tote the stretcher? And that's what we want to get into now. We'll find our text in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And again, verse 1 says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four, or brought of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press or for the multitude, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. There were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, and take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. What a blessing of a message. You look back in verse 5. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I'll have to confess, when I first read that, I thought, how in the world could this verse say, you know, because of their faith, this guy was saved? Because if you would take that a little bit further into context, you could put real people in real life situations and say, well, because of certain people or maybe certain parents, this guy was saved. That's not exactly what the true meaning is it's saying. You know, you have to decipher a little bit. You know, there's a little pause that says, when Jesus saw their faith, if you can imagine a meeting that is being held in Capernaum. If you look back to the first chapter of Mark, you know, he healed a leper. And he took an evil spirit out of this man in Capernaum. And he goes on, and as it talks about in verse 1 and verse 2, how many people were gathered in this building? It was so full that no one, even four men on each corner carrying a stretcher, could get in the door. As you can imagine, a humongous church, completely filled, not a seat empty, could not get in through the windows, because at the time, you know, windows, they were open. This is an old-timey building, if you can just picture that in your mind, and everybody in the county was there to see Jesus work miracles. And the faith that these guys had to take their friend and bring him before Jesus, they couldn't get in through the door, so what did they do? They went up upon the roof and started tearing it apart to let them down through the roof. And what happened? You know, Jesus is, you know, it says, you know, he's preaching and he's teaching to this multitude. And a man that is lame is dropped down through him. And he begins at that moment. You can imagine, you know, how, you know, tradition that we are, we start, we have the message and then we have the invitation and then we go home. That think about it, Jesus was preaching at this time amongst a multitude where no seat was empty. And someone is let down that is lame from a stretcher down to the bottom. And he stops what he's doing. And begins to deal with this man. And that goes back to verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, them four people carrying the stretcher, He stopped what He was doing and He dealt with this man. And then He said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." The lame man believed Jesus was the one that could heal him. He believed Jesus was the one God had sent to save him from his sins. Verse 1 and 2, I want us to note the enthusiasm of the people of the in Capernaum. How they showed up to see Jesus work miracles. You know, kind of relate this, and I know it's a small, and maybe not a very good illustration of today's time, because, you know, we seem to be a lot very busy, and there's a lot of things we say we must accomplish to get through the day, and many of you, I don't, no doubt, work so hard throughout the day, that there's not much time left to do much anything else. You don't have much energy. You've spent and you've exhausted your whole self working, and there is nothing wrong with that. That's something to be proud of, to know that you've worked that hard. But these people in that day, you know, have probably worked in their fields. They say, "Well, Jesus is coming." They had that desire to come. I'm blessed by your presence this morning that you had the desire to believe in your hearts, as it says in Hebrews, you know, 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves to come into the house of the Lord. And I pray you didn't just come to socialize and fellowship, but to worship Jesus Christ in songs in the Word of God. And that we would leave knowing that not only should we tote the stretcher even more, but that the messages would affect our hearts. You know, it's amazing how God can affect each of our hearts in a different way. That blesses me. When I'm listening to a message, you know, I can go and talk to someone else about it, and they'll have different comments than what I would have. That's how the Holy Spirit works to each one of us. But getting back to the message in verse 1 and 2, we see the enthusiasm of the people to want to come and hear Jesus preach. What about today's society? There's not too many people that would take off their time to want to come and hear Jesus preach. That is where verse 3 through 5 that I want to reread comes into the part. It says, "And they come unto him," these four people, "bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born and brought afore. And when they come not, or when they could not come nigh unto him for the multitude, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." These four men had determination to carry their friend to meet Jesus. They believed that this Jesus could save their friend. What about us? You know, there's people out there in each of one of our lives that we know that may be lost. You know, they may be so far in sin, because if you're saved, you've once been in that situation to where you probably didn't want to come to church. You probably had the opportunity to skip out. Many people are so far in sin that they've never even been in church. But it is up to us that we would tote the stretcher and bring them in to hear the Word of God. We won't save one soul, but we can do things that would help. It says the Word of God is sharper and more powerful than any two-edged sword. That's what needs to be preached. We need to bring them in so that they can hear the Word of God preached and taught. Again, you know, it says Paul planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. I think what a blessing it is that, you know, we can do so much, and a lot of us will use the excuse, and I'm guilty myself. You know, we say, well, I can't save a soul, or, you know, I can't do this or that, but Jesus can. You know, a lot of times we even have thought so much about Philippians 4:13 that we've almost, not myself again is guilty, that we've almost forgotten. That we can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens us. What a blessing that is. You know, in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I want to take the time to turn over there and read that. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It's very familiar. It's read a lot. But I think we ought to read it again. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." You know, these four men I thought was such a great example, and believe me, this message is it was God preached to my heart, stepped on my own toes, and taught me, you know, am I really carrying a stretcher? Am I really helping get others that they would might come to the realization of knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior? Am I just being so passive that I'm not active at all in getting out the Word of God? Because as you look at the Great Commission in the end of Matthew, and then you see in other verses, go out into all the world, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world, and preach Jesus. And I thought to myself, how much of that am I really doing? I ask you the question, how much of that are you really doing? There's an example that was brought up to us by our coach, and he said, and I'm not much into knowing much about Mississippi, because I'm sorry that I couldn't relate to you the name of the exact player, but he said, an Ole Miss player that was very, very famous, went on playing the NFL. A reporter came and asked him, he said, if you could have one moment back, if you could have one thing back, what would you take back? And he took back, he said, he went all the way back to this time, I guess when he was in college, and he said he went and spoke at a local high school, and they had a dance for the children there. And he said, if I could have one thing back, he said, I felt in the deepest, deepest part of my heart to go there. There's this one little girl, she had Down syndrome. He said, I felt in the deepest part of my heart to go and dance with her, to be an influence on her, to smile, to help her out. I didn't do it. He said, if I could have one thing back, that's what I'd take back. Because he said, that tears my heart up to this day, that I didn't go and do it. He said, and I stepped on my own toes again. How many times have we forgot to lift our hand out? As Jesus lifted His hands out to us on the cross and said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Yet we're so passive that we don't reach our hand out to help other brothers and sisters in Christ. But again, we can think of it from the opposite realm. How many times, yes, I guess I could say to each one of you, yes, you have truly been a blessing to me. Have you have reached out your hand? I saw that, your work in other people's eyes. You could also say that. But again, we shouldn't be satisfied. We should be striving that we would carry out and tote the stretcher so that others may come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Another verse, the passage of Scripture I'd like for us to read, if you want to turn there with me, is 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I get back to the point. And it's a broad, broad topic. I would say, yes, it very well is. I couldn't give you just an exact example, and that's sad as a preacher to tell you to do. But in the most bottom part of our hearts, I ask you, do we have this love in our hearts to help brothers and sisters in Christ? It says, in verse 17, who has this world's goods, has so much, and seeth his brother, and realize that his brother or sister in God, or maybe even a lost one, is in need, and feels the compassion, but does nothing about it. How much is the love of God really in him? Paraphrasing. We should be less passive and more active in our work for Jesus Christ. The very first passage we read, we talked about. Brother Donald read it in the devotion, that Jesus arose. He died on the cross for our sins, but He's not dead. A lot of times we just bring this up at Easter. But I think it should be brought up every Sunday that Jesus Christ arose for our sins, and because of that, our sins may be forgiven and we can live for Him every single day of our lives. We can continue on. We want to look back at our text in verses 6 through 8 of Mark chapter 2. We'll look now at these verses. Verses 6 through 8 of Mark chapter 2. Verse 6 says, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? I want us to take one thing from these scriptures. And you can take it from many, many different lives, but the one lie I'd like for us to take it from is that Jesus knows every thought that we take. He knows every breath that we breathe. He knows every step that we take. He knows every hair on our head's numbered. He knows. And He don't know that just about you. He knows that about me. He knows that about every single one of us. What a blessing that is. But also with that blessing comes the responsibility. These Pharisees and these Sadducees, they were sitting there and the scribes reasoning together, we've read in the Word, only God can forgive sin. And this man's up here claiming that he can forgive sin. We must realize who Jesus is and follow Him. And in our walk with Christ, and this is brought up to me also, a lot of times we're hesitant. And I really do hope this comes out in the right way. We're hesitant to refrain from sin for the wrong reason. We're hesitant to refrain from sin because too many times we want to think in fear of God, scared to death of the consequences. We look at the end of the day and we say, well, I've refrained from this temptation. Or I've refrained from this. And in saying refraining from drinking or refraining from cussing or refraining from giving in to the devil's temptations is a great and mighty and wonderful thing to do. But too many times when God looks at my own motives and your own motives, we fall short in doing the right thing. We should do so and refrain from temptation out of a heart of love. To say, I'm not going to do this, not necessarily because it's not right. I'm not going to do this because I love my God and I want to show you that I love Him. To be that example. That your living testimony, as it says, let your light so shine before men that it would be set on a hilltop and not behind a bushel. One of the basic lessons we learned in Sunday school, how many times have we forgotten that? Their light should shine before men, so they might see the Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, that is coming again soon. In conclusion, I want us to look at verses 9 through 12 of the text in Mark chapter 2. It says, Jesus speaking, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed, and walk. That you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and go take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. I want us to take from this part that we notice the power that Jesus had. A lame man that could not walk throughout his life was carried into this multitude of people in this house on a stretcher. Jesus healed him. Jesus still has that same power to forgive us our sins. No matter how bad they are, He still has that same power. And what I believe a wonderful blessing is He has the, when we pray to Him, we have an intercessor. We pray to God through Jesus Christ. One that hears every prayer we pray. That cares about every action that we make. He cares about us. Like a mother and wonderful mother and father would, He cares about us. I want to look at one last passage of Scripture in conclusion. It's about the Philippian jailer. Find this in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 31. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 31. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That's a little prelude to verse 25 and others. They had cast out, Paul and Silas had cast out an evil spirit and were thrown in jail for doing so. And verse 25 starts out and says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. What a wonderful testimony. And that's still living today, even to me also. What a wonderful testimony that they sang praises in the midst of persecution. They lifted up Jesus Christ. And the example was brought even to the Philippian jailer. I wonder how that convicted his heart. How Jesus Christ used that to convict his heart. And he said, sirs, you know, he's at the verge of killing his own life, taking his own life because, you know, it was, if anyone would go out, any prisoner was let go, his life was going to be taken from him anyway. So he thought he might as well just kill himself. And then he was convicted in the deepest, most parts of his heart. He was convicted and he said to Paul and Silas, whom, and this is my own opinion, I feel like he probably didn't even know these two guys. These two guys were put in jail. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And, you know, he didn't say, well, if you live like this, if you keep so many of these Ten Commandments, if you keep so many of these laws, and if you do this every morning and do this so many times a day, then you will be considered for salvation. He says, believe on the name the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What about us this morning? You know, how is our heart, our relationship towards God? As the song leaders come, the piano players come, I want to ask us the question, you know, are we truly toting the cross like we should? Are we toting, I guess, the stretcher as the four men carried the stretcher for the man that they cared about, a friend they cared about? He carried that stretcher for them. I do have one last example I'd like to tell y'all about. You know, so far, again, I have to say prayers have been wonderfully, wonderfully answered. I was blessed with a wonderful roommate. You know, them first week or two, you know, we shared God and we talked daily. And I'd share scriptures with him. He came from a Christian academy. You know, and to me, he was the most wonderful Christian person, you know, around. And he would go on, he'd talk, and, you know, he felt a little convicted about his own life. He said, you know, I came forward for salvation, but, you know, God was convicted. I don't really know. I don't really know if I'm saved or lost. You know, the week went on, and Friday we went and saw his great-grandmother. You know, she was not doing very good at all. We came back, was tired as could be. You know, what a blessing. This other guy on the baseball team is a youth minister. You know, he asked, he said, well, you know, you want to go with us tonight? We'll go and just hang out or whatever. So, yeah, we would. Now, I want you to notice God's providence in everything that goes on. How His hand is working in everything that goes on. And that night, we didn't listen to one song on the radio. All it was talked about was how great, how God was affecting Seth, how God was affecting Parker, and how God was affecting Brent. And it was amazing. And that night, when we got home, we got back to Blue Mountain. Parker said, you know, I need to talk to Seth. I got to talk to him. I said, all right. And he came back in the room and he said, Brent. I said, well, he said, I got saved tonight. This man that went to a Christian college, I spent a whole week and a half talking to him, felt like a great Christian man, did not know Jesus Christ up until that moment in his life. He truly believed that Jesus Christ in the most bottom part of his heart was Lord and Savior. You know, that's like Brother Dan said, you know, revival, that's what's worth living. We can see lost people saved. We can see God's people rejoicing in how great Jesus is. This time we'll have a song hymn.